Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Commissioner Paul Crooks, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
I've lost count of how many programs I've done, but I think this is our 114th or something like that.
Wow.
And I've been wanting to talk to this man alone for some time, the minority commissioner, minority in the sense that he is a Democrat as opposed to a Republican. Paul Crooks is a very interesting fellow. I have got a chance to meet him over the year or two I've been here in Bedford because I'm one of those pain-in-the-neck people that come to their meetings and watch what they do. So that's pretty interesting from a civics point of view. But Paul and his colleague, of course, run the county here as county commissioners. He's a U.S. Coast Guard veteran, and I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that because I like water. He is also one of the three commissioners, actually the only one of three commissioners who has worked in private industry, which I think is very interesting in today's political world because a lot of people talk about what it's like to work in a business as opposed to work in the government. He is in his second term and will be ending that in full retirement in 2019. So, Paul, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. It's great to meet you here on the radio. It really is.
Well, you're welcome, Lloyd. Thank you.
I was interested in speaking with you mostly because you're the first public official I ever met, Bedford County. You probably don't remember that, but when I was here for about a week, I was wandering around Bedford Borough, kind of wondering what to do with myself, having been retired for like a week and a half. And I was a little antsy, so I walked over to the courthouse here, and my wife Jackie said, well, why don't you go to a commissioner's meeting? That might be kind of fun for you, like that sort of thing. So I heard that the commissioner's meetings were at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. At that time, they were every Tuesday. So I walked in, and I think I got there at 10 after 10, and you guys are all standing around shaking your hands and so forth. And I said, so when's it start? And they said, oh, we already did it. It's over. So you were the one that told me that. And I said, man, what a county. They do commissioner meetings in 10 minutes. This is great. So you were very gracious and you introduced yourself and you told me what you did. Kurt was there.
Yes.
And a couple of others. But it was fun. So that was my first contact. So I was always eager to talk with you. Let's talk a little bit about Paul a minute. You are a Bedford County native. Everett, I understand?
Yes, born in Everett in 1941, graduated from Everett High School. Parents have lived in Everett. My dad's parents lived in across the river from Everett in Earlston. And my mother's parents lived up where Everett Foodliner is now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm interested in Earlston because we interviewed the folks at the museum over there, at the Railroad Museum. And the two young ladies, well, they aren't so young, but they were very nice ladies that helped run that place, told me that Earlston was a big economic force in Everett at one
time. It was, yes.
And what did they do in there? It was a factory of some kind,
I can't honestly tell you. It was way closed.
But you're way too young to know about working there.
But yes. I just know that a lot of people in the area worked there, and you can see the residue from the plant that they had there. looks like little round pieces of gravel all over there, along the river.
I know that as you go past the Turnpike facility in the back there on that road, they tell me that that big square building was also part of that plant.
I think it was,
office building or something.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of neat to see some history there. So that your dad's from Earlston, your mother's family were from Everett.
Yes.
But did you actually live in the borough of Everett?
Lived, my dad and mom and my brother and I lived on South Street in Everett. Yes.
So you're the real deal. You're the guy. Okay. Good. Because we had a chance to also talk to Bob Appleby, who is very entertaining guy that owns Food Line. We had a lot of fun talking to him. So I'm getting to know Everett a little better. So so you graduate from Everett High School,
right?
And then you end up in business. And I understand you were with Kelly Tire Company.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
And what did you do for them?
I started working for them. Actually, as a forklift driver and or a trucker or rail car loader or unloader and was promoted into the quality area. And then from there, the supervisor and foreman. And then I went over to the plant and was a shift foreman. And from there, I was transferred out to Ohio and was a assistant manager of a 400,000 square foot warehouse.
Jeez. Now, where was the Kelly facility here in Bedford County?
It wasn't. It was in Cumberland, Maryland.
Cumberland, okay.
Okay, along the river.
I see. So you commuted every day?
Yeah.
Long commute.
We moved to Cumberland Valley Township and bought a house and some property down there.
I see.
Made commute a little bit easier.
Right. Because I was just, I guess, looking at the paper or something yesterday, maybe it was the internet, they said that this terrible wreck they had in Hindman this past week, a lot of the people used to work at Kelly, and I thought it was in Hindman, but it's not. It's in Cumberland County.
Cumberland was a great draw for employees. They had Kelly was there, PPG plant was there, Celanese plant was there, two railroad companies were there.
Yeah.
So they drew a lot of workers from Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Maryland.
Interesting. Well, if nothing else, you've given me some enlightenment on the kind of industry that we had here in Bedford County and its environs.
Yeah.
Was there ever anything big in Everett or Bedford County that you can recall that had that kind of workforce?
Well, not the size of Kelly. I mean, Everett had a sewing factory on Water Street that was a big employer of a lot of the ladies in the area. Yeah,
Well, that's right. Bob Appleby told me that a lot of his early customers, at least his parents' early customers, when they had the store, came from this, I think he called it the Coat Factory.
Yes.
Whatever it was called. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's Zimmerman's bought that.
Oh, is that so?
For their hardware,
So that building in the back for Zimmerman.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I learned something else.
Yes.
Our guest is Paul Crooks. He's been very informative to me so far, Commissioner of the of Bedford County. And you've had all those experiences. You were in the Coast Guard.
Yes.
And I understand you worked on the West Coast in San Francisco.
Yes,
but
I did.
What a terrible place to work. I mean, God.
Oh, that was awful. Yes, it was a lot of, you see a lot of different life when you're on a search and rescue boat. You see people who don't have a clue about the dangers of water.
Yeah.
It's eye-opening.
Well, San Francisco in particular, I also did a tour of duty in that town at Hunter's Point Navy Shipyard. And I remember the swells that were underneath the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Everyone said that that was probably the most dangerous passage on the West Coast. And I don't care how big your ship is, it started to roll when it went under the bridge. And there was something to do with the geography of that area.
And the Sacramento River comes down into the bay over in the Marin County area.
Right.
It comes down. And the tide is very tricky. When they merge, they can lay a nun buoy clean over.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It is.
I was amazed because I remember them saying, we just came off a glass ocean.
Yes.
And we're entering San Francisco after a long cruise. And we're all going, oh, boy, we're finally getting out of this water. Yeah. No way. He said, hold on, because they're going under the bridge. And it's these things you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a very interesting time for me as well. And I one of the reasons I wanted to give a little of your background is that you really have been many places and done many things. You've worked on the West Coast. You've been in Ohio. You worked in Akron. So what drug you back to good old Bedford County? I mean, this is a pretty exciting career all of a sudden, and here you are.
When I retired from an Ohio, we wanted to come back to Bedford. We never sold our property when we were transferred out, and we wanted to come back. Our intention was to redo the old farmhouse and have a nice place to live. It wound up being more expensive for us than putting something new up, so we put a new house on the piece of property.
And, oh, I see.
And we just love Bedford County. Yeah. I mean, we just had a lot of friends here that are still here that we knew when we were kids, and it's just nice for us.
I serve in a couple of committees here in the county, and I'm thinking everybody wants economic growth, but they kind of don't in a way sometimes.
Yes,
and there's that conflict, isn't there?
Well, there is. I mean, the county is trying to re-energize farmland preservation, which is directly against economic development.
Right.
And in my mind, one of the issues that commissioners face is we still have a large base of older generation people who like it the way it is.
Yeah.
And we also understand that we have to have something here that's going to help keep young people here for this county to be able to move forward.
Right.
So you have to try to balance the both.
Well, as you know, I serve on the Pike to Pike Steering Committee, which you guys appointed us. And this discussion has come up because of economic growth around the trail. And two viewpoints are emerging. One of them is what you just said, preservation of farmland, which, by the way, is different from what I used to see in the East of preservation of open space.
Yes.
That's a different thing.
Yes.
This is a preservation of a workable farm.
Right.
Am I correct? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to just having pretty things to look at.
Right.
And the other thing, of course, is maintaining the quality of life while keeping young people, but also having a place where older people can live comfortably as well. And my viewpoint has always been, wait a minute, time out. Us older people are an economic engine, if you let us be one.
Yes.
And I think that there could be opportunity for young people taking care of this very most definitely, imminently, older population that is being thrust upon us. These darn baby boomers, man, they keep living. You can't kill them.
Yeah.
And there's too many of them.
Yes,
So what's your view on that? Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. I'm not ready to fall into that category yet, but yes, I think that one of the things that not just Bedford County but this country has lost is family.
Yeah.
And I, you know, part of family is taking care of your mother and father.
You bet.
And my mother and father lived with my wife and I and four sons down in Cumberland Valley Township for a while, but. That is something that I would like to see start coming back is more family time, and it's to me that's very personal, and it's very satisfying to be able to sit down around the table or in the living room or wherever you're at and just enjoy each other as a family rather than worry about what's happening on Facebook or Snapchat or any of those other avenues that people use to communicate with today. I don't happen to be one of them. I don't have a Facebook account, and I don't pay much attention to Facebook.
I'm going to follow up on that. We're going to take a little break here. We're speaking to Paul Crooks, who is the commissioner, one of the commissioners, and I think you are the secretary, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, of the Board of Commissioners. And when we come back, we're going to follow up on this family thing and a little bit about, I'm going to ask Commissioner Crooks, how the family interest fits in with the social services that seem to be overwhelming us when Bedford County Speaks continues.
the USA in your Chevrolet.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. When I was a kid, every Sunday evening, Dinah Shore sang that song. Being part of a Chevy family since 1939, I thought it was pretty special. Now that the weather has become Bedford beautiful again, why not stop by and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet? Right now, we have a great opportunity with a beautiful 2017 Malibu. All of them have the latest technology, comfort, and power to make driving fun again. At Thomas Chevrolet, you can drive away in one of these terrific Malibus at value pricing in the low 20s. When you get a great price, great trade-in, and our legendary service, that's called earning your complete satisfaction. That's what we do here every day. Come and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet right now. If you visit us this week, you'll find your 2017 Malibu in our showroom. And while you're here, we'll show you what complete satisfaction really is.
That's Thomas Chevrolet, where we guarantee your complete satisfaction every day.
This is Don Schwartz of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the county courthouse on a kind of a misty but beautiful day. We're speaking with Commissioner Paul Crooks. And I want to remind you that today's program is brought to you in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, who proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And also, of course, by our very, very nice folks at Thomas Chevrolet. Mark Thomas, as you heard in the commercial you just heard a second ago, has that Malibu in his showroom that I've been telling you about. And I mentioned last week, if you're an older person and curse cars you can't get into anymore, this is really a great car. It's got these great big wide doors, and you can get right in the thing, and it's not like squeezing into a refrigerator. So I know, this is my thing with modern cars. They all seem to want to be a cockpit. They want you to be like a jet pilot or something. So you should go down and check out the 2017 Malibu, now on display at Thomas Chevrolet on Route 220, just north of Bedford. Our guest today is Paul Crooks, one of the commissioners of the Bedford County region, the Bedford County, the entity of Bedford County. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how we can put the family back together inside the home. We sort of abrogated our family responsibility often to local and state and federal government, thinking that's a better thing. But what you're saying is, if the family got together a little bit more often, we might not need some of this stuff. Is that a correct assessment?
That's my feeling. I think that when the government tries to tell you how to raise your kids, how to be a family, they take too much control. They give you the money and then they tell you how to spend it, and it doesn't always work. It doesn't work in Bedford County like it works in Philadelphia City or like it works in Allegheny County around Pittsburgh.
Right.
We're all individuals. We're all different. We all have different values. And if somebody tries to crumble us all together and put us in one bag, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And you don't have the leeway when you're dealing with either state or federal government, and it's some of their money you're spending. You don't have the leeway to deviate from what they tell you you have to do.
I know one of the things that all three of you commissioners bring up when I go to your meetings is a lot of this stuff is mandated by governments above you. And they say, go do this. And by the way, we don't have any money, so have a great day.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is a lot of it is mandated. Yeah. Most of children and youth is mandated. And it's accurate. What you say is when they didn't have a budget, it didn't make any difference that they didn't have any money to give you to do what they're telling you to do. You had to do it anyway. And it creates a lot of duplication and a lot of unnecessary work. And in our situation, simply because we're short-staffed in our children and youth, it makes it difficult for us to meet the timeline deadlines that they instill in the mandates that they give you.
Well,
to do.
Well, we spoke to Lisa Cairo and Andrew last week. I was astonished to learn how many people they had. And Lisa said, it's not enough.
Yeah.
Said, the demand, he said, we've got these guys handling some 30-some people per person. And I don't think I know 30 people, much less be able to deal with 30 families.
Yes.
I mean, that's a tough job.
It is. And what astounded me was when I found out that we have a child that we have to visit at least once. So we have to fly two children and youth people to Oregon to visit this child, even though Children and Youth Services in Oregon visit them or see them on a regular basis. Because that case started here.
Oh, my word.
And it hasn't been completely settled yet. We have a legal obligation to make sure that child's okay.
Don't you think that's a little nuts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I always wondered if in Washington they had a common sense department. It probably wouldn't be very big.
Yeah, probably a couple of people in there. It couldn't be very big. We were in D.C., the county commissioners.
Right.
We were invited by a group. And basically, the good that I got out of that trip to D.C., other than realizing again how expensive a taxi cab is that...
And how lucky you are to live here.
Yeah, yes. that we did get a few email addresses where if we really were struggling for help, mm-hmm. we might be able to get some there. But everything that they do is generalities. They don't give you any definitive answers. And as a commissioner, if you don't have definitive answers, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I mean, we make the decisions. And if you don't have something concrete to make a decision off of, the decision is not going to be very good.
Sure. If a citizen comes in and wants you to fix a bridge, you're not going to say, well, the general specification on bridges in the United States are.
Yeah. No, that's right. Right. Yeah. Bridges are a big deal for me, but simply because they cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we don't have near the bridges that some counties have. There's some counties have over 200 bridges.
Yeah.
I don't know how in the world you deal with that, you know?
I've never figured out when they got rid of the county roads, they didn't seem to carry the bridges with them.
I don't understand. You drive on a county road, hit a bridge, you're on a, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Our guest is Paul Crooks, the commissioner of Bedford County, and I want to talk to you a bit more about this family thing, mm-hmm. Paul. One of the observations I've made as I go around Bedford County is that we appear to have a significant amount of people on public assistance of some kind, mm-hmm. whether it be children and youth or public assistance because they're disabled or in some way impaired and they can't work. Is this growing or shrinking?
I believe it's growing.
Yeah.
I believe it's growing. I believe that unemployment in Bedford County hasn't changed much in a lot of years. It's in about the same percentage, 5-6.
Is that so? So it's just been pretty static.
Yeah, but employment in surrounding counties where people lived in Bedford County, for example, Hindman, where mm-hmm. they mostly went into the Maryland area and in around Cumberland, worked in Cumberland, a lot of southern Bedford County, Cumberland Valley Township, cleaned down around Artemis in that area. Most all, if they weren't farmers, went to Cumberland to work, into Maryland. And a lot of those businesses are closed. That's one of the struggles that Bedford County has, is trying to find another warehouse or something that can employ another 100 people with a family-sustaining wage. You know, we have that big lot out at the business park. It's 70-some acres. It's for sale. We can't seem to find it. It doesn't quite fit.
One of the things that struck me, and I wanted to get your opinion mm-hmm. on this, tourism, to me, seems to be a way out for Bedford County. I think in places like Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Because Williamsburg is built around a piece of manufactured history.
Yes.
I mean, if it hadn't been for a titan of industry, we wouldn't have Williamsburg. It wasn't a government project. They started it because they were interested in that particular part of history, so they threw a lot of private money in there. And now we've got this huge tourist magnet in Virginia. It seems to me here with the history of Bedford, the French and Indian War history, the obviously our historic Bedford Springs, and several other things, including all around Everett, that might be something we could really hang our hat on but spend a ton of money while they're here.
Yeah.
And it seems to me the county already has the infrastructure for that. We've got roads. We've got rail connections to our north, rail connections to our south. We have a great big highway that goes into Baltimore and Washington. I know it seems pretty simple to me, and I know this stuff doesn't go poof, but has if the commissioners thought along those lines at all?
Specifically along those lines, not too much. I think the Visitors Bureau needs to revamp what they're thinking a little bit and try to draw some more help out of the county's residents to come together and put together a program.
I wasn't really thinking so much about the local bureau as I was the whole county jumping into this idea of the idea of tourism and visitors, because the Visitors Bureau is pretty much like any other Visitors Bureau in any other county. They have certain functions they have to do, and they kind of follow a format or a template. But I was thinking that if the downtown Everett and the downtown Shelbsburg and the downtown Hindman and the downtown Saxton and the downtown Bedford came up with a plan for each of them to say, here's why you should come to see our place this time around, with all this transportation, that might be a plan of some kind.
It could be.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Bedford County is if you can get them to talk together, they come up with a lot of good ideas.
They do, yeah.
They come up with a lot of good ideas. In fact, great ideas.
Right.
It's just it sometimes is a struggle to get all of them to talk together. We are pretty strong individualists also.
I've noticed this.
And it makes it difficult sometimes to be willing to sit down with somebody else and talk about it. But I believe coordinating the county is a good method of getting tourism increased.
It makes me think about places like Penn's Manor in Bucks County, which is north of Philadelphia. Again, a non-place. It was a building that was torn down 200 years ago, and they rebuilt it to make it look like the original building. It was where William Penn lived when he stayed here for a year, right? And they've made a tourist attraction out of this thing that is enormous. Same with the Brandywine Battlefield. The Brandywine Battlefield was about a revolutionary battle that occurred in one afternoon of one day in 1777, and yet three counties suckle from that pig every single day. This huge thing with Longwood Gardens, Brandywine, and the Museum of the Wyeth Museum. And I'm just thinking that maybe Bedford has an opportunity here. Well, we'll certainly hope that maybe someone will hear this and go, that's not a bad idea. Paul came up with a great idea. Why don't we do something like that? I'm almost out of time. It's just flown by. I've really, really enjoyed talking with you. What are your retirement plans? You're going to go down to the farm and start painting the barn, or what are you going to do?
I think the first thing Mary and I are going to do is we're going to take a month and go someplace unannounced.
That's a good plan. Yeah, make it classified. That's great.
Unannounced and just enjoy our time together.
Yeah.
I mean, I left work yesterday afternoon expecting to get home and spend some time together, and I wound up not getting home till almost 8 o'clock last night because I was up at Hindman.
Yeah, the wreck.
Those days happen.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and I sure hope they get the situation at Hindman fixed. That was a bad one, because even though no one was hurt, it just wrecked a major infrastructure.
It was.
I understand everybody came. I see the governor came and the senators came and everybody came.
It's the good thing is that you see the people there working together.
Yeah.
Without arguing over who's the boss.
Good.
And it's very, very pleasing to me, the people from all walks. Right. I mean, not only just the fire departments, but Pima was there, CSX and their people were there, incident response people were there. I mean, everybody was there, and everybody understood who was in charge, and everything worked together. That's the great
thing. That's a testament, I think, to what's going on here in the county. So, again, thank you for your work, and thank you very much for the great job you've done for almost 8 years. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Good luck with the secret trip.
Yeah.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right on 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, bedfordcountyspeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.